Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for bearing the almost winter weather out there to come today. Today I'm going to be talking about racial and ethnic disparities and eliminating them at the federal level in the United States by looking at Canada's policies and their implications for the United States. This is going to be focused very broadly, and this research is based on a literature review that I did as part of the Inter-American Law Review at the University of Miami. I have no relationships to disclose. Today I hope to talk about, to compare racial and ethnic health disparities that exist in the United States and Canada. I'll be discussing national policies that relate to health insurance coverage in both countries and talk about how they affect health outcomes and the disparities that we observe in both countries. And then I'll be exploring some of the implications that Canada has for the United States in federal legislation and policies to eliminate disparities. I'll also be discussing a little bit about the National Health Care Reform Act and its effect on disparities and provide some recommendations. As I'm sure you are all familiar with, people of color living in the United States generally receive lower quality health care than non-Hispanic white people. These disparities exist across a number of diseases, including health outcomes and incident rates. Some examples of those are that African-American women are 23 times more likely than white women to be infected with HIV. Vietnamese-American women are diagnosed with cervical cancer 5 times as frequently as non-Hispanic white women. And African-American men die from cancer 1.5 times as frequently as white men. In addition, we've observed a widening gap in life expectancy and infant mortality rates in, between African Americans and non-Hispanic white people, and this has been widening since the 1980s. Some causes I'm sure that you are also familiar with can be associated with both social and environmental determinants as well as institutional factors. We know that people of color are disproportionately receive lower levels of education, they have a lower socioeconomic status, and often live in poor quality housing compared to their white counterparts. There are more neighborhoods with predominantly people of color are generally located in areas with fewer safe parks and are more frequently located in environmentally hazardous areas. In the Institute of Medicine Unequal Treatment Report, we know that this is also related to patient providers and attitudes that affect disparities in the patient-provider interaction. There are also institutional level factors that are related to health disparities, and these include things like institutional racism. And we can understand institutional racism as being defined as patterns and practices and policies that, in effect, disadvantage an entire group of people as they interact. Some examples of this would be general lower income and wages and jobs that are available generally to people of color in comparison to non-Hispanic white people. And these institutional level factors need to be addressed at both the organizational level and at the policy levels. A good example of institutional racism is when we look at the numbers of uninsured. Our population in the United States is comprised approximately of 35% people of color, but people of color represent 55% of the 46 million uninsured Americans in this country. One study in 2003 demonstrated that 70% of white people are able to receive their health insurance through their employer, but less than 50% of African Americans and Latinos receive insurance through their employer. Being uninsured has significant implications on health outcomes. If you're uninsured, you're more likely to not go to the doctor when you need to. You're less likely to have access to care and less likely to have a regular physician. And this has been shown as one of the number one indicators of health status. In addition, one study showed that by equalizing access to health insurance, the United States could eliminate approximately one-third of racial and ethnic disparities in this country. So the equalizing of health insurance must be a primary focus if we're going to eliminate disparities at a broad level. But even if we would develop a universal health insurance coverage for people in America, there would still be two-thirds of disparities that would be left unaddressed. It's important when we're talking about national policy to look at other countries and their healthcare systems, and a natural comparison is our neighbor to the north, Canada. They, like in the United States, we have approximately 35% of our population as people of color, and Canada has approximately 32% self-identified minorities. They also have a democratic government, a similar social welfare programs. Canada also has a history and legacy of both slavery and segregation. Now, although slavery was not as extreme or widespread as in Canada as the U.S., it still did exist and has led to the healthcare outcomes that exist in the country today. Just a broad overview of the health insurance program in Canada. As you all know, Canada does have universal health care coverage. This program was adopted in 1984 by the Canada Health Care Act, and it's a program called Medicare. And it's structured similarly to the Medicaid program here in the United States because it's administered and funded both by the federal and provincial governments. Nearly every Canadian resident is eligible for this program. And overall, Canadian residents are healthier than United States residents. This is even though Canada's per capita spending on health care is half that of the United States. People in Canada generally have more greater access to health care. They're more likely to have a doctor. They're less likely to have unmet health care needs. And overall, Canada demonstrates less extreme health disparities, lower infant mortality, and higher life expectancy rates in comparison with the United States. In fact, one presentation that I went to yesterday by Lydia LeBron suggested that Black Canadians actually have better health outcomes than their white Canadian counterparts. Nevertheless, disparities do continue to persist in Canada despite their universal health care coverage. Aboriginal people tend to have significantly lower life expectancies and are two times as likely to have end-stage renal disease as non-Aboriginal people. And like in the United States, where disparities are not explained, even when health insurance or economic status is controlled, in Canada, the similar truth exists, where disparities are unexplained, even when socioeconomic status, behavioral differences, and geographical residence are controlled. So this means that institutional racism does have an impact both in the United States and Canada on these healthcare outcomes. So what does this mean for the United States? Inequities we know in Canada are less extreme and less significant as compared to the United States, and that is likely directly associated with the availability and access of healthcare coverage. We know that some, but not all, racial and ethnic health inequities can be eliminated through the accessibility of health insurance. And findings demonstrate the need for both the United States and Canada to develop healthcare policies that specifically address and hold agencies accountable to eliminate disparities on a national level. We can't talk about changes in healthcare policy without addressing the wonderful piece of legislation that was recently passed, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. National healthcare reform will have significant effect in reducing disparities in the United States, but it is not likely to eliminate all of the disparities. It will expand healthcare access to 32 of the 46 million uninsured. It will also likely improve disparities by giving more funding to community health centers, providing a lot more grants for public health education, including lay health workers and community transformation grants, as well as increasing the number of people of color that are working as direct health care providers. Just a few of the provisions that are directly related to the elimination of disparities are the improvement of data collection at a national level regarding race and ethnicity. One of the problems we've had in this country in illustrating and understanding disparities is that public programs like Medicaid and Medicare have not tracked disparities in race. This act will also permanently reauthorize the Indian Health Care Improvement Act. It will improve access to preventable services, including the establishment of the National Prevention and Public Health Fund. It will also expand the Office of Minority Health. Not only will it expand the singular Office of Minority Health, it also requires that all federal agencies that are related to the provision of health care, like the CDC and the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Service, establish their own Office of Minority Health within their federal agency. The only piece of legislation, though, that is specifically related to health care disparities was enacted in 2000. It's called the Minority Health and Health Disparities Research and Education Act, and that focused a lot on expanding research and education, but not on holding organizations accountable. It did establish a lot of research, including the yearly reports by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. However, a number of bills have been proposed but have not been enacted. The most recent was in 2009, the Health Equity and Accountability Act. A lot of the provisions in that act were wrapped into the health care reform bill that was passed, including the data collection pieces and the workforce development pieces. However, the most significant provision that was left out would have required every national federal agency to develop a national strategic plan to eliminate racial and ethnic disparities. That, like I said, was left out. Some recommendations based on my review of the literature, including a recent report to the United Nations Committee on Racial Discrimination, include that we require each federal agency to have this type of national strategic plan so that they can hold themselves accountable and that we as a public can also track the progress that they're making toward this end. We can also establish quality standards and benchmarks for organizations that are receiving federal funding to require that they work to eliminate disparities. We can also encourage state Medicaid agencies to include provisions within the contracts with private managed care organizations to hold them accountable to address disparities. In addition, we need to increase funding and infrastructure of the Office of Civil Rights. Right now, the only way of legally addressing instances where there is a disparate impact, which is often what we see in instances of institutional racism, where the only thing we have to point to is the disparities in health outcomes. The only way of addressing that legally right now is through the Office of Civil Rights. And those instances, it's difficult to prove a discriminatory intent, but it should nevertheless be addressed in a court. The only way to do that is through the Office of Civil Rights, but they have not been able to address all of the complaints sufficiently. Of course, we need to increase the availability and access of culturally and linguistically appropriate health care and continue advancing community-based public health education and disseminating and evaluating the interventions and research to better understand how to eliminate disparities at the local level in addition to the federal level. Just in closing, the more disproportionate disparities in the United States are likely a direct result of lack of access to health insurance. We know this by not only studies done in this country, but in a comparison with Canada. Even though the Health Care Reform Act will significantly reduce disparities, federal legislation is needed to hold agencies accountable and providers accountable to eliminate disparities. That goes not only for the United States, but for Canada as well, as they continue to have disparities that persist. And we're saving questions to the end. Thank you very much.
Thank you.